Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hello, good morning, how you doing? Waking up, shaking yesterday's blues, yeah. Turn the TV off, this bad news, man. Feeling fresh like a Ziploc Newman. OJ with a champagne tuna. My boss at home, your ghost running through ya. Hell yeah, it's a new hallelujah. Popping like the top off a bottle and I ain't stopping yet.
Well, as I was saying, I was listening to the radio. I heard something.
And what did you hear?
A hissing sound like this.
Hey, D.A., let me aboard that mothership.
Permission to board that mothership, sir.
Well, you know I had to slide through the intergalactic swag party.
D.A., man, beam me up.
What's going on, my brother from another mother? Beam me up.
You guys are the best.
You guys make it.
Permission to board that
mothership. What's up, D.A., brother?
Mothership has connected.
And you the man, D.A.
America, the mothership has connected. Welcome aboard. It's the 4-Hour Chaos Theory Kegger. DA with you from the CBS Sports Radio studios in New York City, broadcasting to affiliates nationwide and north of the border. Anchorage to Atlanta, Colorado to Cleveland, Kalamazoo and Waterloo. We are on the air.
They listening, D.A. Everything we saying, D.A. Everything.
And we come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. Home is more than a house. It's a personal paradise. Get yours with a Rocket Mortgage. Push button. Get mortgage. How we doing, everybody? Thanks so much for joining us. Big Thursday show for you. Coming up later on in the program, hour number three, 12-year NBA veteran Bonzi Wells is going to join us here on the show. We'll talk NBA heading into the All-Star break with Bonzi coming up at hour number three. Also, this morning on the show, do we believe Antonio Brown on his apology tour now? That includes Ben Roethlisberger and the Steelers. We'll talk about the NBA at the break. Who is the NBA Finals favorite? Is it the Lakers? Is it the Bucks? Is it the Clippers? Is it somebody else? We'll talk about that coming up here later on in the show as well. MLB will institute a brand new rule this year now that spring training is opening up, and that includes 3 batter minimums for relievers. A pretty radical change in the history of baseball. We've never had this. 3 batter minimums. Will it work? We'll discuss. Aaron Boone, clearly not over the buzzer theory when it comes to the Astros in last year's ALCS. And Kevin Durant, could we see him back on the floor for the first time in Tokyo? All of that coming up this morning on the show. So as always, any of those topics or anything else you want to jump into, let's do it at 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4227. Or on Twitter, DA on CBS.
This is the most fun I've had in a long time.
Me too, Sheila. Me too. But let's begin last night in Denver, where the two best teams in the West matched up. The Los Angeles Lakers heading to Denver, where the Nuggets, a really fun young team led by the Joker, Nikola Jokic, has been one of the best teams in basketball as well. But the Nuggets, have kind of slid under the radar for most of this season as the attention has been on Giannis and the Bucks, LeBron and AD in L.A., Kawhi and Paul George in L.A. as well. But the Nuggets have been one of the best teams in the West. The Lakers on the road last night need overtime to survive the Nuggets 120-116. And so now heading into the All-Star break, it's pretty amazing. The Lakers went from non-playoffs last year to a team with the best record in the West heading into the All-Star break. A couple of more games tonight, and then we are into All-Star festivities this weekend. For the Lakers, everybody gives all the credit to the Lakers stars, LeBron, Anthony Davis. But a guy that really came into the season with major scrutiny and a lot of people being very skeptical on whether he will be successful was their head coach. Hey, let's begin here this morning. Does Frank Vogel deserve more credit for the Lakers and where they're at right now? It is Where We Begin, your cold open.
Here's LeBron coming back the other way. LeBron around a pick from Dwight Howard. There he goes, right at Jokic, lays it up and in. And he tried to foul Jokic out there, Michael. No whistle. 30 for LeBron James. Jeremy Grant on LeBron with 5 to shoot. LeBron drives inside. Got it to Davis. 3-pointer by AD. Good again! Anthony Davis with 2 overtime threes. Put the Lakers up 119-116.
It's a different guy every night. And, you know, it's a testament to our culture of guys pushing each other, pulling for each other, and, you know, making my job hard.
Amazing, sensational, dramatic, heart-rending.
It's DA's top story.
Here he goes.
It's your cold open.
John Ireland on Lakers Radio. Vogel after the game talking about the depth and the competition on the roster for playing time, making his job hard in deciding who gets those minutes. Look, let's be fair here. Coming into the season, who thought that Frank Vogel would work and work well? We all thought that Jason Kidd lurking on the end of the bench was there hovering to take over this job. And that LeBron and Anthony Davis and egos and speculation and expectations in LA would lead to some really tense moments and scrutiny on the head coaching position. And it hasn't. Frank Vogel deserves credit. Vogel doesn't have a huge name or brand in basketball. He's not outlandish. He's not a guy with a big personality. He's not a guy that is going to command microphones and press conferences. And so, without being known as the wise elder like Phil Jackson or the crusty curmudgeon like Greg Popovich or the whiz kid like Brad Stevens, nobody's giving Vogel credit. He deserves it. This Lakers team, what do we say about the Sixers? The Sixers can't win on the road and Brett Brown's to blame. And yet the Lakers only win on the road and Frank Vogel gets no credit. I know he's not sexy. I know he's not a big name in basketball, but people should start giving Vogel more credit for the success because it takes a guy with no ego to put his players up on the pedestal, massage egos, get them focused, get them motivated, and allow this thing to be as good as it can be. And on top of this, the emotional toll, the Kobe news, I'm sure, has been in that locker room for these players of that franchise. And the fact that the Lakers are 23-5, including last night, another road win against, in this case, the second best record of the West, is pretty damn impressive. The NBA champions list is littered with alpha male, big name head coaches. Pat Riley, Chuck Daly, Phil Jackson, Rudy Tomjanovich, Steve Kerr, Doc Rivers, big names. And I think only in recent memory, perhaps because the players have taken so much control over the league, do you have guys that might not have been household names or even really seen as great head coaches of their era starting to win. Eric Spoelstra, a couple of rings in Miami. I think now he's looked at as a far more successful coach, valuable coach, but at that point in time was seen as riding LeBron and Dwayne Wade's coattails. Ty Lue a couple of years ago with the Cavs hasn't been able to get another head coaching job. Nick Nurse last year with the Toronto Raptors. So you've had some guys since the players have taken over the control, and two of the guys I just mentioned are LeBron head coaches, Spoelstra and Ty Lue. But coming into the season, we all thought that this was a ticking time bomb with Frank Vogel as head coach, considering he was the Lakers' third choice. And the Lakers right now have the best record in the West and are a staggering 23-5 away from home and stacked another win last night, this time at the 2 seed in the West right now, the Denver Nuggets. Nice job. 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227. Of course, you can always hit us on Twitter as well, DA on CBS. As we now get closer to the All-Star break, there's a couple of games tonight, but here's where we stand in the standings. Lakers are the best team in the West right now. They've got a 4-game lead over the Denver Nuggets. Lakers right now would be your 1 seed. Nuggets would be your 2. The Clippers are right there, though, only a half game behind the Nuggets as the 3 seed. We know the Clippers are lurking. Utah, the 4. Rockets, the 5. Mavericks, Luka, and Kristaps right now, the 6. The Thunder, what an amazing season it's been after they sell off all their parts. And Chris Paul actually looking like he's had a bit of a renaissance at the 7. And right now, a plucky young team that's been one of the best teams since January 1, 15-5 in their last 20, the Memphis Grizzlies as your 8. Pretty fun Western Conference 8 right there. That does not include the Blazers, who are a preseason favorite to be one of the top seeds in the West, Spurs, or Zion and the Pelicans. All those teams out. In the East right now, the Milwaukee Bucks running away with your 1 seed. They're an NBA best 46-8. The Raptors are your 2. What an amazing season it has been to lose Kawhi Leonard and still be one of the best teams in basketball. Speaking of Nick Nurse and great coaching, he has done a phenomenal job. And that organization in general has been amazing to watch, losing one of the best players in basketball and simply keep coasting. The Celtics are your 3, much better this year with Kemba Walker than Kyrie Irving, that's for certain. And they're phenomenal at home, 22-5 in Boston. The Miami Heat are your 4 seed right now. The Sixers, the 5. The Indiana Pacers, the 6 seed. The Brooklyn Nets, sub .500, but the 7 seed. And the Orlando Magic right now as your 8 seed. Other teams vying for that final playoff spot in the East, the Wizards, the Bulls, and the Pistons. But all of those teams right now are sub .500 and a couple of games back of the Magic. Really, there's a huge drop-off after you come from the Pacers down to the Nets to the Magic. The Pacers are 9 games over .500. The Nets are 3 games under. That's the separation between the 6th and the 7th seed right now in the East. We'll have the All-Star break, and then after that, it's your sprint to the finish. And so this weekend, we have our All-Star game festivities. And then when we come back next week, it begins that final push towards the postseason in the NBA. And in a season where without a true dominant team, and I know that the Bucks have been great, but without the Bucks having been there, done that yet, having been to an NBA Finals, there are still questions, obviously, about can they be beaten in a 7-game series? I think there's a lot of teams that believe they could be had in a 7-game series. It does feel as wide open as the NBA has been in a long time. really, this is the first year in many, many years there hasn't been a slam dunk, the Warriors are the dominant team, or LeBron's team is the no-brainer NBA championship favorite. Of course, the Lakers are great, but I don't think anybody right now can say without a shadow of a doubt the Lakers are that much better than anybody else in the NBA. Should be a fascinating second half of the season. An NBA postseason. The NBA benefits, in my mind, from a league where more fan bases are engaged because it does not feel like a default NBA Finals like the Cavs and the Warriors or the Warriors every single year, etc. The Warriors have made the last five NBA Finals. When we come back here on the show in the NFL, Roger Goodell and the league office lifted Myles Garrett's suspension. Did they get it right? A lot of people still unhappy about it. We'll get to that coming up here next. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
It's new on CBS.
We've got it all together.
It's the DA Show on CBS Sports Radio.
And a happy Thursday to you, everybody. Thanks so much for joining us. There's so many ways you can listen to the DA. You can listen to us across the great CBS Sports Radio Network. Also on Sirius XM channel 206. And stream us on your phone. Use the CBS Sports app. That's free. Use radio.com app. That's free as well. You can also listen to us by watching us at watchda.com or Apple Music and the rest of our CBS Sports apps and radio streaming devices. You can check us out on your phone or anywhere else that you are. You can tell your smart speaker to play CBS Sports Radio as well. Our toll-free line is 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. You can always hit us on Twitter, DA on CBS. Coming up here this hour on the show, we've got your best audio of the day, and that includes Theo Epstein unveiling what went wrong between him and Joe Maddon. And yesterday was day number two of the producer interviews, where after Mraz took his pot shots at all of the producers last week, they have had their day in the sun to respond. We'll have the best of yesterday coming up as part of Soundcheck. The NFL has lifted the suspension, which was indefinite, on Myles Garrett. And so now the Cleveland Browns pass rusher and former number one pick overall is eligible to come back and return to play on the NFL field.
Third and 29 with 14 seconds left. Rudolph will dump it off to the left side. Trey Edmonds, the catch, sprints out of bounds. And a fight at the 9-yard line. Flags are thrown. The Browns and the Steelers, and Garrett just threw a punch. And Pittsburgh retaliating. Marquise Pouncey was kicking in there, and flags are flying with 8 seconds left.
Iron Eagle, Westwood One. Myles Garrett needed to be suspended indefinitely at that time. Why? They had to take him out of the news cycle. They had to take him out of the conversations we were having. They had to take him out of the will he, won't he return until the season was over, so that that didn't hang over the end of the season, the stretch run for the Browns, and had Cleveland made the postseason, the playoffs themselves. You know me, I rarely applaud the NFL, but in this case, I think they got it right. Look, at that time, we were all appalled. Still are. Myles Garrett taking off the helmet of Mason Rudolph and then swinging it and hitting him in the head. It could have been remarkably destructive and really, really dangerous. It was. Had that helmet connected with the side of Mason Rudolph's temple? Had that opened up a gash on his head? Had it knocked him unconscious? There were so many ugly potential outcomes of him swinging the helmet. So The NFL had to come down and had to come down strong at that time. Two games, four games, wasn't going to be enough. So six games, I'm fine with because it took him out of the rest of the season. And from a PR standpoint, also, the NFL got it right. Again, I am loath to applaud that league office because they've done so many bad things and made so many bad decisions in the past. This one, though, I believe they got right. They took Myles Garrett out of the news cycle. They did it for the rest of the season. And all told, it was a six-game suspension, which I think is pretty appropriate. Could it have stretched into this year, taking him out for another two games? Perhaps make it an eight-game suspension. Okay, that would have been neat and tidy. But what you also end up doing if you suspend him for the beginning of this season is put it back into the news cycle. People are talking about it. We're seeing that video, etc. I think this was the right maneuver by the NFL. I think ultimately this feels right. Now, were they helped? Were they benefited by the timing of it? No question. Had this happened in week two and he gets a six-game suspension, ultimately that only takes him out until week eight and people might be saying this is not long enough. Had it happened in week 14 and it only takes him out of two games or three games, people would have said it's not long enough. Had it happened in week one and he's suspended for the entire season, people would have said this is too long. So it hit a sweet spot for the NFL blind luck. But you take what it gives you. And the NFL took what it was, and this feels right. Let me say that if anybody is arguing, well, then the next player thinks that he can swing a helmet at somebody's head and he's only going to get a six-game suspension, that's not enough of a deterrent. I mean, come on. Somebody swinging a helmet in the NFL has almost never happened and certainly hasn't happened in like 40 years. So I don't think we have to worry about now other players going, oh, all right, well, I'll only get six games for swinging a helmet. Well, six games is a significant chunk of change out of your pocket. In a league where the average career is three or four seasons, I don't think you want to lose six games of one of those three or four seasons. I think the deterrent of a 15-yard penalty, a deterrent of getting kicked out of a game, is enough for most players not to lose their mind. And when I hear somebody say, well, you know, this happens in the heat of battle. You know, sometimes players just lose their mind. Well, if that does take place this often or that often, why have we not seen other players swing their helmet at other people before? We haven't. I'm not really concerned this is going to be a weekly occurrence in the NFL. I think ultimately it was fine. It was right. Myles Garrett served his punishment, and now he is back for next season. The Browns can move on. The league can move on. Myles Garrett can move on. And Garrett, by all reports, being a good guy involved in off-the-field community and charitable endeavors, I think helps him, and it should. Had a bad moment. Really bad moment. Really ugly moment. But being a good guy before the bad moment should count for something. And being a good guy after that moment should count for something. Ultimately, what we will remember is 2019 was a Cleveland Browns disaster. They were undisciplined. They were irresponsible. They talked a lot. They begged other teams to come get them. And their coach was a buffoon. Wipe that clean and let Browns fans, that organization, turn the page and move into a better mind frame. New start, new coach, new GM. Last year, disaster. Now they can move on. 855-212-4CBS. If you want to jump in on the NBA All-Stars, or the All-Star break rather, the NBA at the All-Star break, or Myles Garrett suspensions being lifted and ended, 855-212-4CBS. On Twitter, hit me up, DA on CBS. Now, Andrew Bogusch oftentimes handles our updates, but he is out, meaning a kind sir is stepping in. He's also a lover of all things dessert. His name is Brad Heller. He has our headlines. Good morning, Brad.
Good morning, DA. We will start in the NBA. We'll start with the Raptors, their franchise record winning streak. It included a one-point win over the Nets on Saturday in Toronto, but the Nets last night getting their revenge in Brooklyn, holding the Raptors to just 38% shooting. The final score, 101-91. Fred VanVleet watching that streak end at 15 in a row.
They played a tough last game. Like, there's a good team. You know, I don't – anybody can lose any given night in the NBA. So it wasn't like we were overlooking them or anything. We know they're a tough team, a playoff team, and they played us tough pretty much every time we play them, and tonight was no different. So, like I said, we didn't have enough to get over the hump tonight.
Raptors hit the All-Star break second in the East at 40-15. The Bucks are first at 46-8. Their winning streak ended at 5. With a 118-111 loss to the Pacers in Indiana. Giannis didn't play. He missed the second straight game for the birth of his first child. The Pacers snapping a six-game losing streak.
Imagine being 46-8, being so good you can allow your best player and perhaps best player in basketball to miss multiple games for the birth of his child. That's pretty cool.
Right into the All-Star break. So, yeah, the Bucks are 46-8. It's pretty ridiculous that they're playing this well.
So Giannis essentially pulled a Mraz by sandwiching excuses to be off for his child into vacation as well.
The timing works out well, let's put it that way.
So they're both kind of on paternity leave.
Paternity leave. Well, we're talking the reigning MVP and then Mraz.
Totally replaceable cog in the machine.
Exactly. A good one in Denver between the Lakers and the Nuggets.
Jeremy Grant on LeBron with 5 to shoot. LeBron drives inside, got it to Davis. 3-pointer by AD. Good again! Anthony Davis with 2 overtime threes. Put the Lakers up 119-116.
John Ireland on Lakers radio. 33 for Anthony Davis. 7 coming in overtime. The Lakers hang on 120-116. They lead the Nuggets now by 4 games atop the West. LeBron James' 12th triple-double of the season. Luka Doncic was back for the Mavs. He missed 7 games with an ankle injury, put up 33-12. Mavs beat the Kings 130-111. Damian Lillard strained his groin in the Blazers 111-104 loss to the Grizzlies. He will now miss All-Star weekend. College basketball, an upset in the top 5.
Here's the second. And that's down the well. Alvarado pointing his arms up to the sky. There's the horn. It ain't a house of cards. It's a house of jackets tonight. Georgia Tech with the upset over number 5 Louisville.
All right, our friend Andy Demetra, voice of the Yellow Jackets on Learfield IMG College there. What do we think about the final call in the House of the Cards? It's a House of Jackets. I kind of didn't get it.
I had to listen to it twice just to be like, wait, what did he say? Oh, okay.
A House of Cards is now the House of Jackets. I mean, I know that it was... They did it against the Louisville Cardinals.
Yes.
And they're the Yellow Jackets.
And it was in Atlanta. So it was a House of Jackets to begin with.
It was already the House of Jackets.
Yes.
Right, that's what I mean.
You were in the House of Jackets.
That's what I mean.
Right.
Had they done it at Louisville, I would have understood the reference.
Right.
What do we think about that?
Was it maybe their first home win against Louisville ever?
Oh, okay, maybe. So they had been the House of the Cardinals. But the House of Cards is also a reference to a TV show.
Right.
It's a phrase. Something falls down like a House of Cards.
What would a House of Jackets TV show look like?
A lot of tweed jackets everywhere and one big old mansion.
I think he reached a little bit.
You think that's
one.
a reach in a final call?
We're thinking about it too much. I think it should just be right off the tip of the tongue and should sound natural and sound like it's, you know,
House of Cards, now it's a House of Jackets.
I agree. If we're talking the game being in Louisville, then I think that works just fine.
I had images of like the Burlington Coat Factory when he made this. I'm thinking there's a lot of jackets.
A lot of fur coat.
Like a shopping spree.
Yeah, House of Coats becomes a House of Jackets. I could kind of understand that. But House of Cards, House of Jackets, I was a little lost on.
Jacket sounds like a fancier coat. Not that that means anything. They're the same. They're interchangeable. But jacket,
you think a jacket's
just sounds
a fancier coat?
Yeah.
See, I think a jacket sounds like a windbreaker, whereas a coat, that's a heavy material.
Wool.
What if he said a House of Yellow Jackets? Now we're talking just bumblebees flying everywhere.
Now that's scary.
That is scary.
Wasps.
That's intimidating.
Wasps.
I mean, if a House of Cards turns into a House of Yellow Jackets, those cards are destroyed.
It's a nightmare. Yeah, it's a nightmare.
It's a nightmare. It is my worst nightmare.
Okay.
The final score, by the way, 64, 58. Number three, Kansas, a 9-0 run to end the game. The Jayhawks beat number 14, West Virginia, 58-49.
College poops.
Yeah. Mraz is all in. Mraz is all into college hoops. Creighton, by the way, beat number 10, Seton Hall, 87-82. From baseball, the Dodgers introduced Mookie Betts and David Price after the trade from the Red Sox. Betts had to put his travel plans on hold while the two sides reworked the deal.
For me, it was just trying to get a place to live. I mean, I know I was pretty much doing everything the same. I had a plane set, and I just didn't know which way it was going to go. And so it was fun, you know, kind of stressful at times, but it was fun at times, and glad it got done.
Can you picture Mookie Betts on the phone with a travel agent trying to figure out where to go, I'm playing this season?
I'm thrilled that there might still be travel agents. You know, the entire industry of travel agency has gone by the wayside because everybody books their own stuff online. So I feel bad for all the former travel agents. I mean, I grew up and the travel agent in town was a big deal. You know, that travel agent, she or he was putting basically the entire town into, you know, Disney World Resort or some type of, you know, they knew where the best flights were. But now, you know, that oracle of wisdom for travel, that's just online. So I wish Mookie Betts would use a travel agent.
I mean, unless he was just refreshing Expedia over and over.
More likely.
Cheap air, right?
Cheapo air
to figure out the best flight.
I love the struggle, too. Like, struggle to find a home. Like, he can't find anything. I got to go live in a one-bedroom apartment.
Pete, he only made $27 million last year. Where do you expect him to stay?
That's right. He didn't make 30.
It's Hollywood. I mean, you know, not every Red Roof Inn is available.
Motel 6.
On a $27 million budget, you got almost no options.
None. No options. Astros players are expected to address the media for the first time today about the sign-stealing scandal. NHL Bruins beat the Canadiens 4-1. Another hat trick for David Pastrnak. His fourth this season. He now has 41 goals. That takes over the lead in the NHL.
All right. Thank you, Brad. When we return here on the show, your best audio of the day. Theo delving into what happened between him and Joe Maddon in Chicago, differences, and we re-rack the best of more pot shots from the producers getting their chunk of flesh yesterday. DA, Morning Mothership, CBS Sports Radio.
Grab a surge protector. You're about to be zapped.
Good morning, DA. How are you? Long-time listener. We listened to you when you first came on the late night and then now in the early morning. And we dig your podcast, and I'm surprised to get on this, and I'm really happy.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
So glad you're with us on a fine Thursday morning. Remember that there are full episodes of the DA Show available in podcast form.
Good morning, DA. How are you?
You can get all of the DA Show full episodes, full hours at CBSSportsRadio.com. That's DA On Demand. You can also get us on Apple Podcasts, Radio.com, or Stitcher, Spotify, and other places podcasts are available. Just go there. Search the DA Show, and any episode you may have missed or want to hear again, available for you.
Good morning, DA. How are you?
I'm well. Very well. Thank you.
For me, it's intense gas over and over.
Luckily, I don't have that problem today. It's good. Helps out when you wake up real early, want to get on the radio. To not be weighed down by such physical ailments.
Good morning, DA. How are you?
I'm good. I'm fine. No bloating.
What's on tap for you today?
No bloating. Sheila's laugh earlier in the week has stuck with me since she called. You know, we play a lot of laugh montages, laugh snippets around here. But Sheila's laugh has really stayed with me and I think needs to be the signature laugh from now on here on the show. For some reason, it's almost like a knowing laugh. She knows something you don't. And because of it, I feel like that needs to now be a go-to laugh for the DA Show. Wait till Ken Stabler gets a load of me. I've got his chin strap and his jock strap.
Oh, baloney.
Let's get to your best audio of the day. It is time for sound check.
CBS presents this program in color.
An educated person can't think he's going to get a recruit by strippers coming in.
They can fire you, but they can't eat you.
And they run through our ass like through a tin horn, man, and we could not stop them.
The audio you need to hear. It's DA Soundcheck.
The Raptors were on an amazing win streak, and then it came crashing down last night against the Brooklyn Nets.
They made shots. They played well. We didn't play too well. They stuck with their coverages. They stuck with their game plan. They stuck with their schemes. We kind of walked the walking zombies a little bit. We didn't play well tonight. Simple as that. We missed shots. We weren't aggressive. We just didn't play well. And give them credit. They played their butts off, and they beat us.
Kyle Lowry saying we were playing like zombies. Look, the Raptors getting that win streak to 15 before they finally succumb before the All-Star break. That's an amazing run. And for a Raptors franchise that won the NBA Finals last year and then lost Kawhi Leonard, it felt like everything had set up for the Raptors to crash back down to earth, right? They were going to rest on their laurels, celebrate all offseason, come into this year with their best player gone. They were going to be fat and happy and have a built-in excuse. And yet, they've been phenomenal this year. And a rattle off 15 wins proves Masai Ujiri built a team, not just acquired Kawhi Leonard. And that sometimes when you win a championship, it allows the guys within an organization or on the team to believe more of themselves, that they're supposed to be great. You know, this just feels like a bunch of guys that last year went through it, have rings on their fingers, think of themselves as champions, and with or without Kawhi Leonard, have believed in the best of themselves. And Nick Nurse has done a tremendous job as well. But I just think that the Raptors' growth into a great team without Kawhi Leonard is one of the coolest stories in basketball. And by the way, Kyle Lowry talking about being walking zombies really reminds us that we're no longer really in the golden era of zombies. That was like 10 years ago, the height of The Walking Dead, so many movies about zombies. Now, the whole zombie craze is kind of leveled off a little bit, and I appreciate Kyle Lowry once again bringing back zombies into our lexicon. Theo Epstein runs the Cubs. Joe Maddon left after differences this offseason. What led to those differences?
Joe and I aren't exactly the same. Yeah, I think his approach was more that, you know, things will work themselves out. You know, these are great players. Let them play. These things will work out. But from our perspective, or from my perspective, there was a little bit more cause for concern. And again, it's not an everyday thing that I would try to step in and offer feedback or help or remind about expectations. But when we're falling short, not in results, but in how we're going about things, we've talked about this before, about, you know, the type of work and preparation I think should be expected in a big league situation, then I don't think I'd be doing my job if I didn't step in.
So basically, Theo was like, Joe Maddon is just a really chill old guy, and he got really lazy. I mean, to interpret that is, we didn't agree on how to prepare the players, and he thought everything would work itself out, and I didn't agree with how he was preparing the guys for daily battle, which is pretty amazing that there was that obvious of a strife between them that Theo would actually vocalize it. I mean, Joe Maddon has been around this game for a long time. He's been wildly successful in multiple stops now. He's won a World Series for that organization and was the manager of the Rays when they didn't really belong in the conversations that they were in terms of the postseason regularly, even getting to a World Series. Joe Maddon is a three-time manager of the year and also won a championship, won another World Series on the bench in Anaheim back in 2002. So he's had all of this success throughout his career. And here's Theo Epstein basically admitting he was way too chill, way too laid back for me, and I didn't think he had the guys ready. Wow. Okay. Now, maybe he thought that the entire organization or that Joe Maddon himself had relaxed after winning the World Series, but I don't think you ever hire Joe Maddon thinking that he's going to be a taskmaster. You hire Joe Maddon knowing that he's really chill. He's really laid back. He likes to have his players wear clown suits and costumes and play silly games and, you know, have family nights. You don't hire him to be Joe Girardi, Buck Showalter. So that's kind of an interesting thing for Theo to say, and we'll see if he gets it right with the David Ross hire, and we'll see how Joe Maddon does in Anaheim. And finally, we have opened up the floodgates because last week, Mraz took a lot of pot shots at producers around here on CBS Sports Radio, including the producer of Tiki and Tierney, Mike Sanford, calling him overrated. We allowed Mike Sanford to have the floor yesterday to respond.
A trained monkey can do his job. My dog, who's sitting here licking the floor right now, could do his job. Because, D.A., I've heard you when you fill in for, you know, back in the day with Gottlieb and Jim Rome. And Mraz doesn't really pop in that much, because usually you have D-Cell or Seseglia or even myself filling in for you, and you're so much better. When you don't have a clown interjecting himself into the conversation, you can just sit there and talk and be you, because at the end of the day, it is the DA show. It's not the DA and Mraz show.
There was a lot of friendly fire coming back the last couple of days, and I think a lot of people around here at CBS Sports Radio have loved to watch the bloodletting. I think they've loved to watch Mraz in the stocks have tomatoes and rotten fruit thrown at him. Ryan Hickey is also a behind-the-scenes producer. He tweeted, "The last 2 days have blown away any Comedy Central roast. It's been just amazing." Bill tweets, "The thing I like about this feud between Mraz and the others is that some talented behind-the-scenes folks are finally getting some well-deserved recognition." Spink tweets, "Mraz is a joke, but that's his role on the show. I'm aware that he's aware and hams up the buffoonery, pun intended."
I am the producer / sidekick.
Now, later on today, we'll have another one of the producers that Mraz called overrated and unable to do his job, Tom DeCelestino, who is a producer here and helps out at the Jim Rome show. He is going to join us for the next round of producer interviews coming up in hour number 4. And it should be noted that Tom has oftentimes come in here and said, "Just give me one interview. All I want is one sit down." And he has told Mraz, I can do a much better job than you. I want to be the producer of the show." Now, Mraz has kind of been grandfathered into this role because he was with me when we started the show as the overnights back in 2013. But Pete the Body, you've seen this on almost a daily basis. When Mraz says something inaccurate or the show falls apart at the seams, Tom D has regularly said, "All I want is one sit down."
That's right. What has happened? It's always there's something. We thought something was festering in Pierno. There's something festering in Tom, and it's even more so than Anthony, I think.
Do you expect fireworks later on in the show?
Oh yes. I go get a sandwich and some popcorn. You're going to have a nice show coming up here at 9:20.
Hour number 4. Yeah, I think there's going to be some fireworks because D-Cell has been begging for this chance. Begging to point out the things he can do well that Mraz does not so well. So I would say that hour number 4, the producer interviews that has now reached day number 3, and I think we'll wrap it up after today, is going to perhaps have its greatest moment. That's saying something because the last 2 days have given us some fireworks as well. So a lot to get to this morning here on the show. Bonzi Wells is going to join us, 12-year NBA veteran. We'll talk to him about the NBA coming into the All-Star break. Only 2 more games left on the docket tonight before we get to the All-Star festivities. But when we come back, the Astros have yet to discuss this spring training, the scandal. Aaron Boone discussed what he thinks about the buzzer stuff. We'll play that audio coming up here next. The man is not happy. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Well, that's what I wanted to bring up. You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.